Hey folks, welcome back to In Focus. This is episode number 35. I am your host, Austin Black. My goal is to give you clarity and insight to your business and marketing strategies. Thank you so much for tuning into today's show. Thank you for being a part of this episode, for being a listener, and for taking time to be a part of this conversation. This is going to be a very fun conversation. I'm super excited about sharing my visit today as I talk with Jeff Caprellian from Capco Futures. And we're going to lay down the hammer on this conversation as Jeff has nailed some marketing strategies. He has really done a fantastic job of connecting with his customer, of providing value, of marketing his business, and of just continuing to give to his customers before he ever, you know, takes the business from them. Love my visit with Jeff. I love the insight he provided. I love the value that he brings to the table, the commentary that he has, just the genuine love that he has for serving his customers. So folks, let's jump right into my interview with Jeff Caprellian. All right, folks, welcome back to In Focus. We are here today with an interesting conversation about trading and futures, and the one and only Jeff Caprellian is my guest on the show today. Jeff is the founder and CEO of Capco Futures, a commodity brokerage firm that specializes in agriculture risk management strategies. He's also the co-founder and CEO of CattleCore, an advanced marketing and risk management platform for cattle and beef producers. Jeff has worked at the Chicago Board of Trade and CGB Diversified Services as the Director of Brokerage Operations. Jeff's goal is to build trust, transparency, and client focus that he believes have been missing from the brokerage industry. Jeff, I am really excited to have you on the show today. I'm excited for our conversation. Welcome to In Focus.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
You know, I've had a chance to visit a little bit beforehand to kind of talk about your business and about the unique elements that you bring to the beef and cattle industry. I know a lot of folks that listen to this show are probably very interested in your industry because we kind of cater to the beef side, the beef audience. But a lot of folks may not know about Capco Futures. So why don't you start off with just sharing the background, the history of the business, what you have going on, and what specifically you offer to your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. So I started Capco Futures back in September of 2019 after having worked in the brokerage business for the last, 12 or so years before that. And the reason that I decided to go off on my own and start Capco is because the mold that traditional ag IBs, introducing brokers, had fit into, I don't think really works for the producer all that well. Before, it was really all formed with a guy, his opinion, here's what I think the market will do, let's place a trade. That doesn't do anything for anybody, really. You know, I don't think that people care how smart we are, how smart we think we are. People care about what we can do for them. And so what I wanted to do was take tools that are really only available to large agribusiness companies or institutional traders, make those available to the retail individual producer, couple that with exceptional value and service and a totally new client experience. And that's how Capco came together, is really, you know, at the end of the day, just what kind of place would I like to do business with? I'm going to go ahead and build that because that doesn't exist out there right now.
And that's how so many great companies have started, it seems like, with identifying what is missing in the marketplace. How do I want to have the experience? What do I want to get if I was on the other side? And how can I provide that for them? And it's almost one of the fundamentals to success. It feels like whenever you start a business, it's got to meet that need and it has to be different from everybody else. What are some of the specific products and services that you offer to customers?
Sure. So, you know, the products and services that we have, you know, I think that they all fit into our three core tenets of how we do business here. And this is something that I really impress upon our team, our clients as well. And that's providing overwhelming value, performance, and service. So when it comes to value, that's really giving you more for your money. Right? So we have a bunch of free tools that we use, whether it's our sale barn cheat sheet that we have available for free. Anybody can get it. You don't have to be a client. That just gives you, you know, what are the right levels to buy and sell cattle, right? Whether it's our CattleCore software, our suite of research tools, we provide $5,000 a year in paid subscriptions to other research publications for our clients because we don't have all the answers and we're very unashamed to say that. So that's one of the great things that we do for guys is we get research from a lot of different companies. We've worked out great deals with them to be able to provide that to our clients free of charge. When I talk about performance, that's really about helping you become a better marketer and reaching your goals. And that really has to do with learning about the client, how we can best work together, what you want to do, and how we can accomplish that using the futures and options markets, which often aren't the best option for what we're trying to accomplish. So it's, you know, going into every conversation, every idea that we have with somebody, what's best for you, not how do we make money off of it, right? Because we realistically only make money one way here, and that's through brokerage commissions. Very often, I would say more than 60% of the time, we tell somebody to do something in the cash market. So that transparency, I could almost sell as one of our features of our service. And with that, you know, going into the service aspect of it, it goes back to the introduction there. It's, you know, what works best for people? How do we provide an unparalleled client experience and create something new and create something exciting? So one of the things that we've been working on here, really because of COVID, when we, you know, everything was shut down back in March of last year, is we decided to build a client portal that's a little bit different than what you would ordinarily see in this type of business. Yeah, it's a place where we have charts and quotes and all of the research, but it's really a community. We have groups. It's essentially like Facebook for farmers. In a very specialized place, people can be very open, transparent. You know, we have a niche business, so by default, we're a relatively small company, and we want to keep it that way. And so the idea is to sort of build this community. I think that that's a really you know, cool way to do things moving forward, as people need to learn how to rely on each other a little bit more with all of this sort of stuff.
You said two or three things there that really jump out at me, and I want to dig into those a little bit more. The first of those being the transparency that you're selling. You know, I'm not a big cattle producer. I'm not well-versed in the futures markets, but I do have cattle. I have followed it. I understand a little bit about it. And that is one of the things that just seems to be lacking so much, is what do these numbers actually mean? What are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to respond to this? And you just said that, you know, over 60% of the time you're advising people to do something besides the futures. So let's talk a little bit about why the transparency is so important for your business, how that makes you stand apart, and why you take that option of recommending something besides what's going to actually bring money to the business.
Trust entirely. If we don't have trust as far as the relationship between client and broker, client and Capco, if there's not trust in both parties, the relationship doesn't have legs to stand on. So they need to, you know, clients need to understand that we're doing things that we believe are in their best interest. And we need to trust that clients are giving us all of the data and transparency, that way we can help make those informed decisions. You know, if we get bad data in, bad data goes back out. So to help with this, and this also goes back on the, you know, why the old model of an old guy with an opinion doesn't work. There's no data behind that. You know, it's, well, you know, it's cold, so cattle will go, so, you know, things like that. It doesn't really make a difference in the grand scheme of things. So with the tools that we've built with CattleCore, with the Sale Barn Cheat Sheet, with our machine learning models, for example, you know, we give you everything. We show you all of the data that we're working with ourselves, and explain why things have a tendency to lead to another. Not, you know, the model says this, so this is what's going to happen. But hey, look, here's what is, you know, showing on our models. Here's what makes sense with, you know, this individual lot of cattle, for example. You know, we have a lot of risk. Our models look like the market ought to sell off here. Seasonally, we tend to do this. The probability of a market sell off is X percent. So we should do Y. You know, and that's where we bring it all together, and we're bringing in basis information, we're bringing in all sorts of data to help make these decisions. And I think the important thing to help build that trust and the value is showing all of that. You know, there was a few years ago, Ray Dalio, who started Bridgewater and Associates, one of the, I think, the largest hedge fund out there. Certainly they've been calling it the most successful and important hedge fund of all time. He transitioned to what he called the third phase of his career, where he went from being the doer to being the mentor. And I encourage everybody in the world to read his book, Principles on Life and Business. It's one of the few books that has truly changed my life in the way that I do things, you know, complete paradigm shift for me. And in it, he talks about, and the phrase for him is radical truth and radical transparency, and everything good comes after that. And that's the way that we operate here with our clients. It's the way we operate here. It's very brash to an outsider until you really understand the process, you know, because we could walk up to, you know, I'd walk up to one of my brokers and say, look, you're doing this wrong because of this. And it's not me coming down on them. It's not me trying to be mean or forceful or flexing, you know, my boss muscles or anything like that. It's just being out in the open with it. You know, there's no sense in having to sugarcoat things or dance around issues. And then it facilitates much better conversations and problem solving. So when everybody is totally open, when everybody says, or when everybody can say, hey, I don't have the answer. Hey, I don't understand this. You know, hey, Jeff, you're an idiot. Here's a better way to do something, which is a terrifying thing to say to your boss, I recognize. You know, it facilitates a better company. It facilitates a better experience for our clients. And so we bring that same level of truth and transparency to our clients. And, you know, admittedly, it's not for everybody. You know, a lot of people just like to have their butt kissed. But when we bring that to them, you know, it's mostly appreciated. And so, again, it leads to, I think, better conversations and better decisions.
That's very interesting because, you know, a lot of times we think about the way we do business has to be crisp and sharp and clean and perfect, and there's no room for mistake. But here, you know, it sounds like you're saying there's room for acknowledging mistake and fixing it straightforward. You know, we know perfection is going to happen, but let's take the steps to ensure that it is as close to perfection as possible. very, very interesting perspective on just managing, especially in a business you're in where the futures are just, I mean, there are so many different variables that go into there. You probably aren't going to have a clean, straight record every single time you go through stuff. So acknowledging that things change, things are more flexible, we have to approach this in a different manner, seems to bring a lot of, like you said, trust, transparency to the equation. The other thing that I'm kind of curious about, you mentioned you kind of had developed a community. And I've never heard that concept from a business like your own, where everything is very personal and private almost. So walk me through what kind of brought that whole concept to being and how that has changed your business.
Boy, I've got to think back to how I originally conceived this. I think it really kind of just gets back to, you know, what would be the best way to interact with, or let me say a more efficient, unique way to interact with clients rather than us picking up the phone and reaching out to you every single time we have a thought or idea. Because that, you know, we want our clients to be informed. We want them to know what we're thinking, but it's not always actionable. You know, so it's partly a drive for efficiency as a way to get information out there. It's also a way for them to interact with us a little more privately, just shoot us a quick message, us being able to disseminate information to a lot of people very quickly with very little effort or cost. And also for just the idea that, you know, people helping people is a sort of paramount to the way that agriculture has always been done. You know, you hear stories, and I think that everybody knows, you know, a neighbor or a town over, a guy, you know, passed away, and then the whole town rallied and helped finish the harvest, right? That's sort of foundational to how rural America and how agriculture is done, right? It's just, everybody's helping each other. So we have a lot of clients that are in, we call them different levels of their profession. We have a lot that are just starting out, a lot that are, you know, in the middle trying to grow their business, a lot that are, you know, at this stage in life where they're in their 60s, 70s, sometimes 80s, and they want to pass that knowledge on. And so it's really a cool way to have people interact with each other and just share what they know. And, you know, if they have a question, you know, hey, you know, I've got a problem. A guy in Texas, for example, you know, topical to the weather right now. Guys, it's freezing cold right now. What do you guys up in Nebraska do, you know, on your feedlots during something like this? You know, and it could be a specific question about that. And, you know, everybody can come together and sort of rally behind the answer. There's, you know, it's interesting in agriculture because everybody's in competition with each other in a way, but also everybody's helping each other at the same time. So it goes back to that transparency, the being able to facilitate the flow of information, the flow of advice. So that's ultimately what people turn to us for, right? People come to us because they want advice, because they want the statistics on why something should happen, for example. But why not turn that around back into our huge pool of clients who have way more knowledge and expertise when for agriculture compared to us? You know, I could probably start a combine. I don't know if I can get it to move. You know, so our expertise here is limited, but yeah. I guarantee that, you know, out of the 800 people that are working with us or so, somebody has the answer.
That's
where that came about. Yeah.
I love that perspective. Now I know you've got kind of two different audiences you're serving. you're working with some of the larger feedlots, but you're also working with some of the smaller producers, farmer feeders, and, you know, particularly with your Cattle Core product. Walk me through just briefly the different options you have for those people and how you're serving them in a different way.
Yeah. So, you know, with Cattle Core, the cool thing there is that we built it so it can accommodate anybody from the, you know, mega feed yard all the way down to cow camp. And so the product itself is a way to automate your hedge accounting. So, you know, you can look at it as I have X number of head of cattle total, or you could say I have all of these different lots and I want to be very granular with the details. We're essentially charting your profitability over time, how your hedges fit into that picture. You know, are you overhedged, underhedged, your position delta, your cattle delta, as we call it, which is your physical risk and exposure. And it's a way to stay organized, right? So, I mean, I know that when we started building this, it was originally a way to just eliminate the, you know, 17 different spreadsheets guys are using to ultimately get to the same thing, right? We're like, well, hang on, we can use our tech background and put together one core product to help eliminate some of that back and forth and legwork.
Yeah.
And then we just started adding features into it. It's like, well, what would help somebody make a better decision? You know, whether it's having the data at their fingertips, whether it's having more data about something, whether it's having analytics about something, that's really what it is. And so the way that we use that, and it really doesn't matter where they are on the spectrum of production. It's where is the risk? What can we help do to minimize that? You know, when do we want to be risk on, you know, essentially foot on the brake or foot on the gas? And then just sort of bring it all home to one complete, concise plan with all the other tools bundled together. So the interesting thing that we do with, you know, all of our producers while we're on this topic of having guys of varying, you know, different places, because we have all of these different clients and all these different subsets, and obviously we have grain producers, we have feedlots, we have cow-calf, we have background, there's all these guys, we're able to put people together. You know, we work with a lot of feedlots and we put, you know, I mean, a ton of our grain clients that wanted to get started feeding cattle, you know, is an investment essentially. Same thing as me and a lot of the brokers in here. You know, we all have cattle through our clients. I think it's a great way for us to stay connected, but it's also a great way getting back to that, you know, farmers helping farmers thing. You know, we everybody that is us, you, everybody that's in our pipeline of customers is, you know, both a producer and a consumer of something. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's a consumer of corn, producer of beef, so on and so forth, but because of the way that we're positioned, we can accommodate both sides of that production. And, you know, if somebody needs something, if somebody's looking for you know, they want to feed cattle in Iowa or where, you know, something like that, we can help, you know, facilitate that. And that's, you know, it's just something that we do. Like I said, we only make money one way, and that's through brokerage commissions. We don't charge consulting fees, we don't charge a research subscription, we don't do anything else like that. So it's just, you know, part of our commitment to providing value.
That is what really drives a business. Whenever you can provide the extra value and show people that you care, you know, whether they pay you or not, you care for their success. That just adds a level of confidence onto that opportunity. And then I love how we're continuing to talk about the community element and networking and bringing folks together and working together. Just it really goes to show the commitment to success regardless of the process, you might even say. You know, everyone's going to win. Right. We don't know how we're going to eat it. We don't have a set process for getting there, but we're going to make sure that everybody wins one way or another. And that's awesome. I love that concept.
Yeah, I think a lot of businesses get that backwards. They focus on what they can do to generate revenue and then figure out the product and then find the customers. You know, we start with the customers and how can we help you, not how can we start a business, build a product, grow revenue, and find you. It's, hey, we've got you. You know, let's figure out the best, most efficient way to help you out, right? Ultimately, you know, we're very aware that our customers can go and open up a discount brokerage account and trade futures for less than we pay to clear them, mm-hmm. you know, for less than our cost. We're not ignorant to that. And so by providing that value, focusing on the customer first, saying, how can we help you? That's all the difference in the world, you know, because otherwise than that, we're coin operated laundry when it comes to trading. And that's really, I think, the, you know, kind of a stain on this industry. A lot of people operate that way still. It's slowly changing. You know, I think that it's necessary that the industry is changing. But yeah, being that coin operated laundry, it's not a sustainable business model for anything, for that matter.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head right there.
We'll be right back to my interview with Jeff. But is anyone out there wondering why your website isn't working? Or why social media isn't performing? Or what's this big thing about email marketing? Why is it so exciting to everyone else? I don't like getting emails, right? If that's you, and if you want to improve your marketing and increase your sales, then check out the free tool I have, the Digital Marketing Scorecard. It's available right now for free at bit.ly/mymarketingscore. The Digital Marketing Scorecard is an in-depth assessment that only takes 15 minutes to complete. You take the assessment, you get a score, and you receive a personalized improvement plan with my recommendations for your business. Take the assessment, get the score, get your improvement plan, and implement the tactics to increase your sales and improve your marketing, and figure out what's working and what's not, what needs to be fixed. Go check it out for free right now at bit.ly/mymarketingscore. That's bit.ly/mymarketingscore. Back to my interview with Jeff.
As you look at the past, you know, 4 or 5 years of your business, what have been some of the most successful business and marketing tactics that you have employed that have just really helped you connect with customers, get your message out there, increase your customer base?
Yeah, so I really feel like I'm hammering the word value here. But when it comes to advertising, and this thankfully is an area where we've had a lot of success. Whenever you're advertising something or you're doing any sort of marketing, it is about providing something of value, whether that's real value or perceived value. So one of our more successful campaigns that we've done, and we did it with a Facebook ad, I wrote a small book on options, about 80-100 pages, something like that, called Options for Farmers. And obviously, aside from printing costs, and we deliver it, you know, electronically as well, it doesn't cost me anything to deliver another book, but there's tremendous value in that. For a producer that's just getting started, for example, that doesn't know anything about options or how the futures markets work, there's a huge amount of value because that brings their level of knowledge from zero to, let's say, 50 out of 100. You know, it's a very basic book, but there's a lot of value in increasing your knowledge like that. I've always looked at, you know, buying books, and my wife really hates the number of books that I buy because it seems like every couple of days there's something from Amazon coming on my porch and I've run out of space for them. But she goes, you know, you spend thousands of dollars a year in books. I go, well, you know what, if I paid $20 for a book and I got an idea that, you know, is worth $21 to me, that's worth it, right? So it's that value, right? So that campaign has worked tremendously well for us. And you know, another one that we've done here, it's been more successful than anything I've ever done, probably everything put together. We call it the Sale Barn Cheat Sheet. And it was just a random idea that I had. You know, there's a lot of like Sale Barn calculators and things like that out there, you know, plug in what the bid is and then, you know, outcomes, how much you'll make. So, well, you know, we've got all this data, right? We have all the seasonal basis data. So we can come up with different regions. And I go, well, you know what? We can do a calculator, but why don't we do something that has a matrix That way you could take, you know, print off one sheet, say, hey, I'm buying steers in Nebraska today. Boom, I've got my sheet. And it shows you all these different bid prices, all these different finish weights along the other axis, or I'm sorry, start weights, right? Auction weights. And then it'll, you know, calculates where, you know, approximately when they'll finish. It'll automatically tabulate the basis and the correct futures price and all that sort of stuff. And basically give you, you know, how much you'll make per head. It's an estimate, of course, but it's, you know, accurate to within a couple of bucks. And that's something that provides a lot of value to guys, right? And it doesn't cost us anything to deliver. You know, it's all email delivery, but, you know, we've been running this campaign for 8 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. You know, like right around Christmas is when we started. And we've had 6,400 producers sign up to receive that. So, you know, that's, it's really nice because one, it's been a very successful ad campaign and we've opened a lot of business because of it already in such a short period of time. But it's also heartwarming because we've been able to help, you know, literally thousands of people, hopefully add value to their business. And, you know, if we're not going to find successful campaigns like that all the time, right? I've had plenty of ideas that have been ridiculously awful, you know, $100 lead costs and things like that, because I thought it was so brilliant. But, you know, if we can keep coming up with ideas that are unique to the marketplace, that helps somebody grow their business, you know, whether we're charging them for it or not, that's ultimately what brings in, you know, that brings in lead flow. And then, you know, I'm not sure if we've gone down this road yet, or this is part of the question necessarily, but when it comes to then, you know, going and opening that business and getting them in our pipeline, it's really important that they're indoctrinated a little bit to our brand. And that's a word that, you know, you obviously know as a marketer, but a lot of people probably aren't familiar with the term. And basically what it means to indoctrinate somebody is essentially letting them get to know you a little bit before you start selling them something. You know, I mean, there's no question, right? Everybody that signs up for an ad with a commodity broker, you know, unless they're completely dense, they know they're going to get called by a commodity broker, right? But, you know, and if we call them the second they sign up for it, which is something that a lot of people do, that, you know, if you've ever looked at like mortgage quotes or car loan quotes, right? Uh-huh. You put the second you press submit to get that quote, you've got 18 calls coming in within 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, that does nothing but piss people off. So we want to give people a little bit of time to marinate. And, you know, we're going to start sending you information. You know, we're going to start giving you things that other people are charging you for. We're not going to charge you for them. And you know, we want to know if you like what we're doing. If you do, it becomes much easier. You know, it's a much shorter path then for them to become a client of ours. So, you know, the key things I think for any marketer, any advertiser is, you know, lead with value. Don't say, look at me, lead with value, something that actually helps them. And then, you know, you have to have an indoctrination campaign. You know, once you've got that email address, that phone number, don't just hit them right away with sales. You know, tell them why you're unique, why you're different, get them in front of your brand. You know, the old sales thing, and it's still probably true, is that, you know, you need to call somebody 10 times before they become a customer. I think that somebody needs to see your logo 10 times before they become a customer, and they probably need to read about you on something that isn't controlled by you. You know, whether it's going out on AgWeb or Feedlot magazine or something like that, right? They need to know that you're legitimate. And the only way for you to be legitimate, I guess, or at least appear that way, is to be out there in other publications. And it's not that you should necessarily go out and seek to do those. That's certainly a way to fast track, right? But I'm a big believer in having earned that. You know, so you've got to earn the right to be bona fide, essentially.
Right. I think you're the first guest that I've interviewed that has really had a good, solid handle on this, because you outline exactly what we preach and exactly what we do. And you're a testament to how effective that process is. Whenever you lead with value, you collect that email, that phone number, you stay in contact, you develop that relationship, you show them you care about their success before you ever ask for something. But then whenever you do ask for something, they're ready, you know, they're more ready than they would have been otherwise to do business with you. So I'm very glad to hear that you've had luck with that, because that is the exact process that many businesses need to implement. And I appreciate your insight on how that has worked, how it's been beneficial for you, and your philosophy behind that. to flip that around, has there been anything that you've done that hasn't been as successful? It's been more of a lesson learned, a mistake made that you can also share and give some insight to of what not to do.
Yeah. I mean, the road to success is paved with tears and blood. There's no doubt about that. Boy, you know, when I think back to my earlier my earlier ad campaigns, for example, you know, we'll start with advertising. That's what we were transitioning from. You know, it takes a while to figure it out. And you've really either got to pay the piper and do it for a long time to figure it out, or work with a guy like you where you know what you're doing and you can fast track it for them. I don't think that anybody can start out, run an ad campaign and be successful with it. It's, you know, I mean, if they do, kudos to them. But from what I've discovered, it's impossible. It took me 8-9 years before I figured out Facebook advertising. Mm-hmm. And I have spent more time and money doing that than I care to admit. So, you know, as a plug for services like yours, you know, if you're just getting started in doing something like this, hire Austin, you know, hire somebody like Austin. Do that first, because, you know, and the interesting thing there too, right? Like, so I've hired a lot of dud marketers over the years too. But I always came away with an idea. So going back to that, like, my wife hates the amount of books I buy, right? It's like, well, you know, I spent a couple $1,000s doing this, but, you know, I learned how to do something that's going to be worth more than that eventually, or I learned what not to do for sure. Right. So getting to finally answering the question here, the huge mistake that I see out there constantly is people advertise. I mean, the most ridiculous one is they'll just advertise their logo, right? I mean, that doesn't do anything. You know, brand awareness is a thing, no doubt about it. Right? Right. You can't run an ad and say, hey, look, you know, here's my modern looking logo, and nobody's gonna do business with you for that, right? we could talk about retargeting afterwards with this. You know, we'll get onto that. But, you know, don't go out there and advertise, hey, here's a free trial of something, you like what you see. I mean, you know, it's not like Tinder, right? Swipe right, swipe left. I got married too young, I guess, or too early, because all of these modern dating innovations that seem really great for guys, they didn't exist for me at the time, right? But I like that idea in principle. But, you know, don't have your ads out there as a beauty contest. And this is something that I talk to my, particularly like newer brokers that I hire, you know, say, hey, here's everything we've got. What do you think? Well, you know, that's not solving a problem for anybody. It's not providing that value. So going back to, you know, those three core tenets of how we do business, right? I think that any ad that you run has to address a couple of things: how you do business, the integrity of you and your company, but particularly how we're providing value to you. You know, it may not be something that's in your face value, but you at least have to prove that you have value that you can create, right? People don't care what we do. They care about what we do for them. And that's true in any business, right? That's true with our clients, right? Beef producers. If I didn't own a brokerage firm that served them, obviously I'd say, cool, you've got a ranch. That's awesome. Good for you, buddy. Well, I don't care about that though. I care about eating meat. So it's a very basic example of that, but ultimately it's, you know, what can we do for you? And you have to impress that value on somebody when you're advertising. So that's a huge mistake that I see. Some other ones, you know, there's like email frequency. That's a huge one. There's really, you know, like a Goldilocks spot when it comes to email frequency. You know, you can't do too many, you can't do too few. You have to space them out in the right way. And the cool thing now, you know, with all of the, you know, marketing automation technology that exists, I mean, you can trigger things based on anything. So that's another big one, right? Use the marketing automation to your advantage. Any decent CRM and marketing automation platform now has triggers based on when somebody opens an email, when somebody visits a certain web page of yours, when somebody hits a Facebook ad or something like that. When you're looking at sales mistakes, when you're looking at marketing mistakes, you learn these things over time. You know, particularly with sales, you've got to, you know, when a salesperson first starts out, for example, you know, you give them the oldest leads, the closed accounts, things like that, because they need to get the rocks out of their mouth. You know, there's no substitute for experience when it comes to these things. You know, and you're going to hit a million mistakes along the way, whether it's, you know, things that you're saying to somebody, things that you're advertising. But yeah, I guess I could sum it up with every mistake that I've made with advertising and marketing boils down to me trying to present information rather than me trying to prove value.
Mm-hmm. I could not have said it better. I mean, everything that you just said there is so, so good, so true, so accurate. And yeah, I feel like I should have paid you for your comments there, because that is, you dropped the mic on that.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true, you know, and you know, we're having this conversation and even after all these years and where, you know, I know how to do it, there's things that I don't know how to do still, right? Mm-hmm. And this goes back to, you know, how we do business with our clients, right? And why we use third-party research and we triangulate all these opinions. We don't have all of the answers.
Yeah.
None of us do, right? But, you know, certain things, for example, right? Within the next couple of months, we're going to start doing, you know, we want to get out onto YouTube and start doing YouTube ads, you know, particularly with all the interesting things that are happening with Facebook and Apple. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, 75% of our traffic comes from the iPhone. So, you know, that's going to present some challenges for us. So, you know, what do I need to do when it comes to YouTube ads? I've never done one before. You do. Right? That's your gig. So I'm, you know, I've learned my lessons the hard way. You know, either I can go and figure it out, and I have no doubt that at some point I'll have it figured out, or I could fast track.
Yeah.
And, you know, bring on a guy like you and say, hey, you know, what's the best way to accomplish something?
Right.
So yeah, I'm a huge believer in that. I'm a huge believer in, you know, in kind of outsourcing specialties in any event. You know, for things that I have, at least what I like to think, complete mastery of, you know, and there's always been people that argue with me in my definition of what I think is complete mastery of something. But for things that I believe that I have complete mastery of, I often outsource them either because it frees up my time, which is, you know, my most valuable resource. Mm-hmm. As a business owner, as a broker, as anything, right? Time is your most valuable resource. So it frees that up for me. It puts it in somebody's hands who are at least equally capable, if not more so, because they have that specialty.
Very well said, and how that business grows. And there's that's come a point when your own skill set, although good, isn't good enough. And it's important that business owners keep that in mind, that just because you know how to do it doesn't mean someone else doesn't know how to do it better. And I deal with that myself. You know, I think every business owner does, in realizing where is our time best spent, what resources are we best utilizing, and is there areas for improvement even within ourselves. So I appreciate you sharing that sentiment. And kind of down that line of recognizing, you know, what the challenges are, what is the biggest struggle that you have faced with the company, whether it's in business or marketing? What is it? What's the biggest obstacle and hurdle you've had to overcome?
Boy, they're all big. You know, there's a lot of hurdles in this business. I've had the good fortune of having been at this for a while. And so there's things that are, there's no clean way to say this, I guess, right? But there's things that are very challenging for other people, particularly newer brokers, that are things that I've seen time and time again. You know, so it's recognizing that, you know, everybody that comes in, whether it's a client or particularly our brokers, they're all starting at different places. And, you know, nobody has seen every market that's ever existed, right? But you gain a comfort level with markets. I think that's probably one of the bigger challenges, is being able to be calm in the midst of a storm. You know, when it comes to grain prices, for example, we've just gone through like the worst 5 years of markets in the last 30 years. You know, it's been awful. And you need to have the mental fortitude, I guess, to overcome the sentiment that your customers are sharing with you, because I understand it, right? When grain prices are, you know, corn's at $3, you're losing a ton of money. And it's very easy to become depressed and to, you know, look to other people to try to solve a problem that nobody can solve. You know, it's just the way the markets work. So for example, a guy that would have, you know, that could have started with me at the very low, you know, he's never seen good prices. He's only known bad prices. A guy that started in the business right now only knows high prices. He's never seen low prices. And so it's, you know, the challenge that, I mean, I guess one of the hurdles, right, is just sort of blending all of that together. And it goes back to, you know, it just takes time and experience to be able to be that calm hand. You can't get riled up about anything. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, with the brokerage business, there's all sorts of challenges you have to overcome. You have to be in a bunch of different places at once. You have to be, you know, essentially the newsman, the weatherman, the chart technician, the compliance guy, the advertiser, you name it, right? So it, you know, being able to overcome that, it's you know, outsourcing some of that work. It's recognizing that, you know, there's a lot of peace that comes with the recognition that you don't have the answers. As soon as you stop saying, I'm smarter than this, I ought to, you know, I know better than the market or whatever, and saying the market ought to do this, you know, you become much more peaceful. Because no matter what you think about the market, it's going to do something weird. You know, and whether that's the price of corn rallying like it did, or GameStop or Bitcoin or any of these markets, right? I mean, these are things that, you know, only the few, the very fringe that are always, you know, crying wolf, can say they predicted, right? But, you know, for every one prediction that they've had that works out right, there's, you know, probably 5,000 that have been completely, completely insane. And so, you know, sort of blending it all together, finding the meat in the middle, I like to say, recognizing you're not always going to be right, recognizing that you generally don't have, you know, any of the answers, let alone all of them. It lets you observe the world around you and then bring that data in. Rather than you saying, this is how the world ought to be, you can say, this is how the world is, what can I do about it? You know, this is how the markets are, what can I do about it? Rather than this is how the markets ought to be by saying, I think corn should go to X, or I think cattle should be at Y. You know, that's the biggest hurdle, I think, because you have to change the way your employees as brokers think about it, because their clients are calling them to say, hey, what's the price of corn going to do today? Mm-hmm. The hell should I know? You know, here's all of the data that says this is what it could do. This is, you know, more importantly, you know, what does it mean for you?
Yeah.
Right. We're in the business of offsetting risk and managing risk. You know, are we offsetting risk, or are we playing the guessing game? That's a big hurdle. And so having that sort of paradigm shift, that change in mindset with our brokers and particularly our clients, that's been the biggest thing for us over the last year, is, you know, shifting the way that people are used to doing business, right? Because, you know, for a guy that's, you know, 70 years old, for example, and he comes to us, you know, he's been working with brokers for the last 40 something years. And it's always been done one way. Hey, I think the market's going to do this. Let's buy. And that's not at all how we do things. So getting people to see the way we do things. And it's, again, it's not for everybody, right? We've fired clients before because they don't want to fit into the way that we do things. And ultimately, you know, I like to think that we're very good at what we do. And, you know, we've obviously been successful with our advertising, so we have a large pool of people to draw from, and we want to have, you know, we want to keep this small, tight, specialized company. Not everybody's going to be a fit for us. So for those that can't overcome that hurdle, so to speak, you know, we just don't work together. It's a better relationship overall apart, right? And so, you know, we're not for them, they're not for us, and that's fine. And yeah, that's a huge thing. Yeah, I guess I could probably leave it at that. I mean, I can go on forever on all sorts of other topics that stem off of that one.
Well, and it's something that I would never thought about, but, you know, you look at the very facet of your business is a moving target. And mm-hmm. understanding that even though you know what should happen, you don't know what will happen. And yeah, I can't even imagine just the challenge that would present in, you know, an attempt to serve your customer and attempt to provide a product that you're supposed to know everything about, but yet you know you really know nothing about when it comes down to what's it actually going to do. And, you know, creating that confidence, but also creating that stability within the business of, you know, we will make this work. We will, you know, make the right decisions, but acknowledging that the right decision may not be the first decision we come up with. So that's a very interesting thought process and something I would never thought about, but I appreciate you bringing that up. So I'm curious, you know, you say you've been doing this for a while and had a lot of success, a lot of clients coming to you. What is the future as you look ahead, you know, to these next 1, 2, 3 years? I know that the futures markets, there's talk about change. There's talk about different opportunities and people marketing their cattle differently. What are you guys doing with the business? What's the future look like for Capco?
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that we're kicking around. Not all of them I could share here, obviously. The fundamental truths, I think, that will occur in this business over the next 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years, right? If we kind of break it into those shifts. One, I think that the prevalence of discount trading will continue to increase. You know, the Robin Hoods of the world, something like that will soon exist for commodities. There's already discount brokers and commodities for that matter. So the value creation is the single most important part about what we do. We have to be able to justify our existence to our customer. We have to provide a value and a reason for them to work with us. Other things that I think are going to occur, a lot of the market analysis and the research and this sort of stuff, right? And we've started this already, the prevalence of artificial intelligence and machine learning and the exponential growth that we're seeing. Now, this is really the next technology boom. I think we're in the beginning stages of this next great technology boom for really the entire economy, and is going to be driven by artificial intelligence. So, you know, we have some machine learning models, and I think the continuation of building those out and building new models will be the next driver for us as well. You know, the thing with us specifically, when it comes to anything that we want to do, whether that's bringing in new research companies or adding new product lines or whatever it is, you know, anything that we're doing is going to be first and foremost for the benefit of our existing clients. We're not necessarily building tools and product lines to add new business. We're doing it to make our existing clients more capable. That in and of itself will add new clients because we will then have a, you know, essentially a bigger, better, and better product. Mm-hmm. I can't really go into all the specifics because, you know, I'm sure that somebody would sue me that we're working without it. But, you know, some of the things that we're going to be, you know, getting into and working on, the machine learning models, that's going to be a huge part of it. You know, we have a bunch of ideas, a bunch of manual models that we've been doing over the years. And so, you know, adding that extra juice of artificial intelligence in there, we're really excited to see what that comes up with. Because the fact of the matter is computers can do that work better than we can, you know, yeah, as humans. So that's really cool and exciting for us. We're looking at adding complementary products and services. We've recently added a weather product through a partnership with BAMWX, great forecasting company out of Indianapolis, and that premium subscription is free to our clients. So little things like that, right? Adding little pieces of value. That's really what we're all about these next couple of years. There was, you know, do you mind if I go off onto a little tangent here?
Go for it.
Awesome. So there's, you know, I go back to the books my wife hates. There's a book that came out in late 2019, early 2020, something like that, called Company of One by a guy named Paul Jarvis. He's a tech entrepreneur. And it really kind of changed the way that I looked at the success of a business. And the argument of that book is that, you know, in America and really anywhere in the world for that matter, the success of a business is generally measured by growth. How much can you grow a business? And the book examines why that may not be the best case, right? And I've seen this firsthand with other companies that I've worked for, with friends of mine that own businesses or that are employees of other businesses that are just growing for the sake of growth. And, you know, to what end? That's a good question. You know, it always adds complexity. You know, you increase the top of line, but your bottom line doesn't really, you know, improve dramatically at all, but you've added this huge layer of stress. So, you know, getting back into how I see us growing, I guess that's kind of the question, right? What's next for us? It's not necessarily growing out. It's not growing and increasing, you know, clients and trying to generate more top of line revenue. That will naturally come, and we'll do that at a very, very controlled and measured, slow, steady pace. The success of Capco, I think, can be measured by the growth of our clients and the comfort that they have in their businesses because of the risk that we've been able to take off the table for them. So if we're able to provide more solutions and more data, and we're able to help them with different aspects of their business, so whether that's, you know, finance, for example, you know, if we can internalize some of that here and eliminate a variable, you know, that obviously helps grow our business, but that helps grow the client business as well. And that's really where we're measuring success. So yeah, that's another, you know, great book for you, your listeners to check out, Company of One by Paul Jarvis. I bet you didn't think that I was going to come on here just pushing books.
I love it. I am an avid reader myself. So I love that sentiment that, you learn, like you said, if you learn a $21 idea from a $20 book, you've made money. I'm right up that same alley with you. As much as we can read and learn and grow and then pass that on to those among us, I think is a tremendous responsibility, you might even say, you know, of what we need to continue to do as people, as business owners, as helpful individuals. So, you know, I really want to thank you for sharing all of that insight, for sharing that story as we wrap up today, because I think what you have brought to the table is a conversation that to me, people just lose sight of. And not that we aren't all out there to grow a business, to increase sales, you know, to make money. But there's components that we cannot forget. You know, we have to add value. We have to develop relationships. We have to have that trust and that transparency, and we have to always be looking for new ways to grow. And I think, as you showcased today, that's all encompassing within Capco Futures. And I've thoroughly enjoyed just hearing what you've been through, what you've experienced, what you've learned, what you're doing. It's very enlightening and exciting to see what opportunities are going to be available through the company. Where can listeners connect with you guys, find out more about Capco Futures, get access to some of these free resources you have?
Absolutely. So the best place is going to our website, capcofutures.com. It's capcofutures.com. From there, you can sign up to get a copy of the book. You can set an appointment to take a look at our client portal, do all sorts of things, find out more about, you know, what we're about. How we help our clients, and again, you know, if it meshes with what somebody's trying to do, fantastic. If not, fantastic, right? You know that we're not for you, and we know that we're not for you. So it's a win-win, right? Beyond that, I would absolutely encourage guys to go to check us out on Facebook. You know, at Capco Futures on Facebook. You take a look at, you know, we put a few charts on there a month. You can take a look at some of the things that we've done. Also learn a little bit more about us, our brokers, and sort of our model and how we do things.
Awesome. Jeff, thank you so much for joining me on the show today, for sharing about the business, about your story, the insight you have. Really enjoyed the conversation. I'm glad you could be on with us today.
Thanks very much, Austin. I appreciate it. And I had a great time. That hour went by like nothing there.
Well, man, I feel like I should have been paying Jeff to have that podcast for me, because that was outstanding content, outstanding conversation. I love his perspective of marketing. It's what we teach, it's what we preach, it's what we believe in wholeheartedly. And hope that has given you some insight and some vision around really crafting marketing campaigns that truly provide value to your customers, that grow your business, that increase your sales, and focusing on the relationship and on what the customer needs above on what you want to do. Fantastic information from Jeff. I'm excited to see where they go these next few years with Capco Futures and with the new services, the new product lineup, the new opportunities they are presenting customers through their service and their product lineup. Folks, if you want to find out more about Capco Futures, check them out on Facebook, check them out on the website, download some of their free resources. I'm going to for sure check out the book and the cheat sheet because I want to learn more about futures and marketing. And I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I enjoy bringing it to you. Folks, thanks so much for tuning in to In Focus. We'll see you again next week.